Thanks for tuning in to Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe Vinny and the Jets. Be sure to follow us at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Blatarocca.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio's Joe, Vinny, and the Jets. Last week we did some grades from all the positional groups of the Jets. Vinny skipped out in the end. I guess he was getting sick. Something wrong with Skype. I forget exactly what his reason was, but it was okay because we had our producer Nick on. Thank you, Nick. I know you can hear right now. That was awesome to fill in. You know, Vinny, we're getting into the part where we're going to start talking about free agency, some of our free agents. We're going to talk about today whether you'd re-sign a guy like an Ivory, or what do you want to do with Wilkerson, or even, lesser guys like a Jamari Lattimore. We're going to get into that. Next week we can do some free agents to be from other teams. We'll figure out stuff. There's going to be Jets talk on the show year-round, maybe not hour shows, but a little bit shorter some days depending on what's happening. But good week, a lot of snow. I had to work a lot during it because unfortunately I have to be at work. How was your week, man?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I'm up here at school. Of course it would snow on a weekend, so I had no classes canceled. So that was just lovely. But hey, life is good. Life is good. The Patriots lost. It's great. It's not too bad.
Yeah. We can just talk about those now, I guess. And Brookdale did cancel school, which was awesome. My second class of the year, which is pretty fantastic. But let's talk about, since we're not going to do the picks of the week this week, because obviously the game is 2 weeks from now. Vinny sent me his picks. Me and Vinny are now tied, Devin at even.
Let's go.
So we're going to pick the Super Bowl. I can guarantee we're going to pick somebody different, and we're going to see who wins this all. Nick beat me, so... It's okay. He was 1-1. I was 0-2. It was just bad. But what did you think about the? I like Nick doing that from the background. That's good job, Nick. But let's talk about the game that was not even really a game, Vinny, and the Panthers and Cardinals. There really wasn't much to say about this game other than the fact that the Panthers just absolutely destroyed the Cardinals. Carson Palmer, 6 turnovers, has not looked good in any playoffs I've really seen him, and it sucks because I was talking about it with Nick last week. I like Carson Palmer. I like Larry Fitzgerald. I like the team. I like Deion Buchanan. I like the entire roster, but they just got destroyed. I don't even know what to say about it. Honestly, I turned it off in the fourth quarter. I believe the score was 49-7, 49-10 on the score again. I didn't even look at it again to be 100% honest.
Brutal.
A 40-point game in a conference championship game. It was really bad.
Yes, I know. I mean, I was texting you right before the game thinking about changing my pick to the Cardinals because, they're a team, it's hard not to like them throughout the whole year, with Carson Palmer, with Larry Fitzgerald, with that team. It just, talk about just a total ass whooping. I mean, Carolina was good. I mean, Arizona coming off that win against Green Bay, I thought they would, give them a game. At least, but I mean, Carolina, man, they're rolling. They are rolling.
Yeah, we all
are. That was not fun. Not fun for Arizona, put it that way.
Yeah, and before going to the games, too, I actually thought that the Carolina and Panthers, the Carolina Panthers and the Cardinals game was going to be a closer game than the Patriots in Denver, but that swung our way. Panthers won, which is fine. Good game. I didn't really care too much on that side, but obviously, all the Jets fans who are listening to this show, every Jets fan out there who doesn't listen to this show, we were rooting all for Denver. It's awesome to see Peyton Manning beat Tom Brady in the final time that they play. I can almost guarantee that Peyton Manning is going to retire after this next game came out. And listen, they hit Tom Brady 23 times, and the season high before that was 12. And that's why we always talk about how Denver does have the best defense in the NFL. And if the Jets got a pass rusher, and everybody saw what Von Miller did in that game. If they get a pass rusher, a guy of half of Von Miller's level with this defensive line, the Jets' defense can be in the running for the, you know, the number one defense. But without that pass rusher, it's not going to happen. So we'll see what happens with that. But Von Miller showed what he can do. DeMarcus Ware showed what he can do. And the Denver crowd helped him out. And I heard on the radio, I completely agree, that they were very loud the entire game, where the Patriots actually had to go to a silent snap count. And Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware just studied, I guess, studied Brady so much that they just knew when he's going to snap the ball, because they were getting off the line before Tom Brady really even snapped the ball. It was crazy. They were just crazy good. The only thing I have to say about that game, other than that, that pissed me off and I actually tweeted about it, was when I think it was Edelman caught a route or a slant or something over the middle, and their safety, I think his name is Kao. I don't know his first name.
Yeah.
I believe his name is Kao. Edelman jumps up in the air, and while Kao is running 20 miles per hour at him full speed, and he sees him up in the air, he goes to tackle him where he thinks his body's going to be. But since Edelman ducks at the last second, it's a helmet-to-helmet unnecessary roughness call. So I think that's complete crap, and the NFL has to change that. It's just, the NFL is just so soft nowadays. It drives me crazy. But, Vinny, anything you took out of that game?
Yeah, man. We've seen it. When the Jets beat the Patriots, it's because they got Tom Brady on the ground. And I think they only had 3.5 or 4. I think they had 4 sacks or something like that. It wasn't that many sacks.
23 hits.
And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, I saw their offensive line coach got fired, you know, the day after the game. That was pretty funny to see. But, I mean, Von Miller, I mean, the guy, I mean, when you have a guy like that, I mean, your secondary doesn't have to be so great. But, I mean, the Broncos defense is just playing at elite level. But, you're like you just said, man, the Jets can just get their hands on a pass rusher. Obviously, much easier said than done. You know, they've been struggling to get a pass rusher for, it seems like, a decade now. But, hey, Tom Brady's getting old. I mean, Peyton Manning, like you said, he's about to retire. But that was a classic game right there. You know, I think that's a game we're going to remember for a long time, especially if Peyton Manning comes out on top with this Super Bowl. I think, you know, one of the lasting memories we're going to see is him, you know, going, you know, having the confetti dropped on him after beating Tom Brady, seeing, you know, his handshake with Bill Belichick, something that's been talked about so much on ESPN and all their outlets recently. But,
oh my God.
No, that game was, it was a classic game, man. When they did not get that 2-point conversion at the end, I jumped. You know, it was a mini Super Bowl for us. You know, we wanted to.
How high did you jump?
You know, I my vertical, I was leaped at 24.5 inches. I could have done better, but
wow.
Hey, I'll take
it. That is nuts.
And, you know, that was our Super Bowl. I mean, if we're on the show right now talking about the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I'd be even more sick than I was last week. That's just you know, it just makes your stomach crunch and turn as a Jet fan. But hey, God is good. And right now it's Denver, baby.
Yeah, and it's awesome that the Patriots don't have to beat it, you know, be in the Super Bowl, because even if they were in the Super Bowl, and, you know, people could say, oh, we can root for the Panthers, but I just don't want to see them in there, because I don't want them to have a chance of winning. You know, the last couple Super Bowl, or last couple in a couple of years, is, you know, Seahawks, Patriots, and just the Seahawks and Giants. There's just not a whole bunch of Super Bowls I can really remember, like, loving. Hopefully this turned out to be a good one. I would like to see a nice close game. They haven't really been too close other than last year. So we'll see what happens. But it's going to be a very interesting time. We'll be up in the Poconos, which will be awesome. Doing some things. Well, let's start off with the free agents. Enough about, you know, opening a show with other teams and all that crap, because guess what? We're New York Jets fans. That's what we're here to talk about. That's what people care about. They can go to Denver, Patriots, Panthers, Cardinals show if they want to, but we're here to talk about the Jets. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go through the free agents. We'll give out some of the numbers that they received before the, you know, the year previous to this year, and how much they got, et cetera, the year deal, and then try to see if we'd like to have them back, the number we'd be comfortable with. Not necessarily the exact number, you know, $665,000, but the price range. So
yeah.
let's start off with the bottom guys, Vinny, and kind of build it up here. I'm going to do all 23. And people, and you, and the thing is too, that's very interesting that I've been hearing. Well, the Jets have $11 million in cap space. It's actually a lot. Then they cut Cromartie. It's $19 million. Then Breno Giacomini. That's 25. Okay, so if you do get those guys to restructure, let's say you get the brick to take off $3 million. That's $28 million. We have 23 restricted our free agents.
Woo!
You have Wilkerson, Fitzpatrick, Ivory, Snacks, Calvin Pace, Powell, DeMario Davis, Antonio Allen. There's some names on there who are going to be have to be re-signed, so we'll see how we do this. But let's start for the 23rd guy, Vinny, and the guy who I can guarantee that none of us are going to say we should keep him, but Randy Bullock, the guy who hit 14 for 17 field goals this year, came to the Jets on a one-year, $660,000 deal. Would you like to have Bullock back on the New York Jets, taking those that huge freaking gut he has?
Survey says no, not a chance. The Jets keep Randy Bullock. I mean, Nick Folk's spot to lose. I don't even think Randy Bullock gets a chance to come back and kick for the Jets, especially after the way the season ended. Man, if Randy Bullock's kicking next season for us, let's just say, I mean, I don't know. There'd be no words to say. It would be a yikes right there. Exactly. So, yeah. No. To sum it up,
yeah, classic
know.
Vinny yikes. I agree. We don't have to get into this. He was 14 for 17. Most of the things he missed were longer, you know, the 42s, the 45. I mean, there's like a 42, a 45, like a 50 Vinny he missed, so he can't really kick past 4 yards. He's not accurate. He can boom it, but he can't. He's not accurate at all. Just not my type of guy. He makes me nervous just all around. Nick Folk is. I'm not a huge Nick Folk. And the thing is, I'm a Nick Folk hater. I think he's a decent kicker in the NFL, but the way people blow him up because of one or two good years on the Jets is pretty absurd. I think he's an average NFL kicker. He had that one good year in 2013. So, but what are you going to do? That's just my opinion on Nick Folk. I might be completely wrong, whatever you guys think. But so that's a no for Randy Bullock. So that's one down into 23. Kembrell Tompkins, Vinny, he came on a one-year $585,000 deal. He had 17 receptions, 165 yards, and very limited snaps. And I actually thought when he did come in, he was decently productive. You know, he's not a 1, 2, 3, or 4, but a 5 or 6. I don't think he's terrible on the team. What do you think?
I think, you know, Kembrell Tompkins is an interesting guy. You know, obviously when Jet fans think of Kembrell Tompkins, at least for myself speaking, we think about that, you know, that one of the last plays of the season where you could have had that 73-yard touchdown to, you know, to save the Jets season and head him into the playoffs. But Kembrell Tompkins, he fits well into this Jets offense. You know, only 17 catches, but again, he came on late, you know, had a huge catch in the Dallas game. And, you know, towards the Patriot game, I think he was targeted over 10 times that game as well. So, I mean, this guy, you know, he's flashy. He has some speed in him. He can run basically any route, you know, when you ask him. He can line up in the slot, line up outside. But I think this is an interesting guy considering, you know what the Jets have at receiver. Obviously, they have the two studs. But then when you look at, you know, when they lost game this year, they really didn't have that third option. Kembrell Tompkins, sometimes he was a third option, you know, a la that Dallas game. But then, you know, sometimes they couldn't come up with the big plays, a la the Buffalo Bills game. So, I mean, this is an interesting guy. I'd like to see him get invited to camp, you know, on a one-year deal, I'd say, because it's a guy, again, who can make plays. I wouldn't, you know, obviously sign him to more than a one- or two-year deal because, I mean, he's very inconsistent. Going back to his days at Cincinnati where he had all the off-field troubles and, you know, he was with the Patriots, they cut him. So, I mean, Kembrell Tompkins, interesting guy. I mean, again, there's a lot of time left, obviously, but I would like to see him get invited to camp, yes.
Yeah, I would give him a one-year, nothing guaranteed type of vet minimum deal. He wasn't terrible. If Kembrell Tompkins was on a 2012-13 Jets, he would have been a starter over Chaz Schillings and all those guys. You know, he's like a starter from a couple of years ago. But I think he's a solid number five, six receiver. He showed some flashes in the games he was in, and then he showed the inconsistencies, the drops. And things like that, but I think it's worth bringing him back on a vet minimum deal, see if there's anybody maybe in free agency you like more in the draft, then you can cut him, and it's easy. But I'll give him that one-year deal, let him compete out at camp with a rookie or a late rookie or a veteran type of guy and see what he does. But I think he was semi-productive for the times he was in the game. You know, you saw the Dallas game. We got like a 60-yard catch that put us in field goal range. So he showed flashes, so I agree with you. I'd like to see him back. And the next guy, who is another special teamer, Quigley, who 3 years ago was signed on a three-year, $1,485,000 deal. Vinny, would you like to bring Quigley back, and what would the number you'd be comfortable with doing that at?
Well, Ryan Quigley, he was out of the 32 punters this year, he was 26th in the league with, you know, just under 44 yards apart. I would go with no. I think it's definitely a time for a change at the punting position. Just considering that throughout the years with Ryan Quigley, there's so much inconsistency. You know, it's hard not to think about that last punt, you know, that first punt of the game, I should say, against Buffalo. I mean, that was something that's just going to stick in my head for a long time. And even if Ryan Quigley is back next year and does a good job, I think a lot of fans are going to remember that punt for a long time. I think a lot of Jets coaches and management are going to remember that punt. But I mean, he's just been inconsistent throughout the whole entire season. He has a boot. I mean, there'll be some kicks, and his long kick for the year was 68 yards. But there was times where, you know, he gave us, say, 6 punts a game. He gave us 4 punts over 50 yards, things like that. But I mean, there's just those punts where there's 31 yard punt. You know, when we're punting it from our own 25-yard line, that's just,
20-yard punt.
Exactly. So I mean, I think it's definitely time for a change in the punt. And really, with the exception of Nick Folk, a lot of the special teams, punter, you know, coverage teams, all that good stuff on the special teams. But I think Ryan Quigley, we have seen his last, his last days here as a Jet uniform. I think it's time. But they decided to keep him back. You can't sign him to more than a 1-year deal. I mean,
no,
you
no,
just can't.
He's not
a shot.
He will
maybe
not
one
be.
Year
he will not be. Yeah. In, I will lose respect for Todd Bowles and the whole entire coaching staff if they take a look at all the film next year and they decide to even consider bringing Quigley back. And I understand, you know, what did you say, 24th in punt average, but I'd rather take a guy who punts it 45 yards every time than a guy who booms it 55 and then shanks it 20 yards, because those 20-yard punts really freaking hurt you, as you see in the Bills game, which was I believe it was the second punt, Vinny, because the first punt was like the 30.
Oh, okay.
Walt Powell actually returned it for like 14 yards, and it's the next punt that he just shanked. I think it was only 20 yards. I didn't even look it up, because like I said, we didn't look up anything that game, so we were so freaking mad. But no way. Get. I don't care if you pay somebody else another $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. Get a guy who can punt, you know, mid 40 range consistently. I don't care if he's 18th in the league. Just do it, because Quigley is just terrible. A guy who now we're going to Zach Sudfeld, Vinny, who was injured this year. 3 years ago, he signed him to a 3-year, $1,497,000 deal. Would you be interested in bringing Zach Sudfeld back to the team?
Zach Sudfeld is an interesting guy. You know, he was nicknamed Baby Gronk, I believe, when he was with the Patriots, when he was on that practice squad. He comes to the Jets, you know, has a few catches here, no flashy, you know, plays, but he's a tall guy, 6'6", 250. And considering the Jets, the Jets' tight end position and how inconsistent and just how troubling their tight end position is, especially consider, I think Jeff Cumberland is going to be gone. I think Calvin Davis is going to be gone. That leaves, you know, a hybrid guy who we're going to get to soon in Chris Owusu. And then you don't know what you're going to get from Jason Morrow. So Zach Sudfeld, I believe it was, Calvin Pryor who tore his ACL in practice, I believe, on a hit. So, I mean, I would like to see Zach Sudfeld come back if he's completely healthy, which I think he should be, considering he got hurt back in back in training camp this previous season. Again, he's a big guy, and he's 10 career catches, but I think this is a guy who definitely has some potential. And considering the group that the Jets have, you don't know what you're going to get from Jason Morrow. You don't know what kind of production that tight end position leaves for the Jets. So I would like to see Zach Sudfeld come back again on a 1-year deal, and see what he can do.
I do not want him back. I still do not forgive him for that Packers game when Geno Smith threw the ball to him, and he just watched the corner intercepted. He just didn't do anything about it. Like I said, I wish he could have clotheslined him, draw kicked him, done some type of Jackie Chan crap on him, just whatever he had to do. Mm-hmm. But if the tight end position still needs a guy like Zach Sudfeld next year, we're in a little bit of trouble. And I'm not necessarily this is not one of those positions where I think we're going to go out and get a big name free agent. I seen a thing about Jimmy Graham the other day, just stupid. But you're going to have Amar, you're going to have an Anunua / H-back role, whatever he may be. And then I think you're going to bring a guy up in Wes Saxton. So we'll see, but I don't think I would want Zach Sudfeld in there. He's never showed me anything. He's 6'6", 250. He looks like freaking Thor from the movies, but he can't block or can't catch again to really do anything. He kind of just looks the role. So I don't really like him, and I don't want him back, to be completely honest. I want to start new. He hasn't shown me anything. And you're talking about tight ends, Vinny, who – you just mentioned Kellen Davis. You said you didn't think he's going to be back. He's 30 years old. Brought in on a 1-year, $950,000 contract. Would you like to see Kellen Davis back? And I'm guessing the answer is no.
That would be correct. I don't like to talk about Kellen Davis more than we already have talked about him. The short and simple answer would be no. Three catches,
yep.
18 yards, but I don't want to talk about it. No Kellen Davis, sir.
That's fine.
No.
Yeah, so we're done. I'm not going to talk about it. Vinny doesn't want to talk about it, so you don't have to talk about Kellen Davis. Next player we are going to talk about is the guy who you just mentioned, too, Chris Owusu, who, honestly, before I learned the depth of his concussion problems, I was actually a little bit excited for this guy in the preseason and training camp and things like that, the way people are talking about his routes, the way he's catching the ball, the way he's trying really hard. And when he's on the field, I can see it. You know, there's times where he's a little bit rusty, but his routes, the way he catches the ball in the preseason, he only had 6 receptions, 80 yards on the season before he got injured. But I really like the way he plays, but the fact with his concussions, and he's had like 5 or 6 now in his career, one more he could be done or retire. I'd rather move on, go younger with the position, try to find a guy, like I said before, Campbell Tompkins, maybe a guy who pokes loose in free agency, or a guy late in the draft, 5th, 6th, 7th, maybe 4th, 3rd round, whatever you want to do. But Chris Owusu, too many head problems for me. I think I'd rather just let him walk. How about you, Vinny?
Yeah, I mean, this is a smart kid. Again, he went to Stanford. I believe he double majored at Stanford. Something crazy like that. He's a smart
By the way,
guy.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I don't know if you guys, the fans, and Vinny, did you see that catch that his brother had? I believe he played for Stanford,
yeah.
too. Okay, just making sure, because that was
Same,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But keep going.
His brother has a bright future. But, I mean, Owusu, again, he has, like you said, 4 or 5 concussions. A smart guy. I mean, one more concussion. This guy, I mean, how many brain cells does this guy can possibly lose? I think it's safe for him to just hang it up, to be honest with you, at 4 years and all the head problems he's had dating back to high school. I think it's safe to say Chris Owusu is done playing in the NFL, actually.
Yeah, he might be. I think he might get another training camp shot, but as soon as he gets another concussion, I just think he's made a decent amount of money. Like I said, 2 years, over $1 million. That's enough money. He'll figure something to do. But I think it's kind of smart for him to just hang it up. He's been hurt a lot, especially in the head region. You know, a broken leg, broken arm, whatever. But your head area is a scary place. Next, Vinny, let's do Willie Colon, 32-year-old guy, last year brought in on a $950,000 contract. What do you think about Willie Colon, which last year, let's not lie, we were both sitting here saying, I hope he's not there. But when he actually started the season, he actually played pretty well during the Jets' 4-1 stretch. So what would you like to do with Mr. Willie Colon?
I mean, it's a guy, again, another veteran presence. I'm not sure if he's gonna play. I mean, I was hearing some chatter he might retire. But if he doesn't and he's healthy, I would definitely, give him a 1-year veteran contract, around $1 million, let's say. Because, again, when he played, he was one of our better linemen. You know, pair him with Big James and Mangold, that center, those three positions up the middle were very good. You know, the big reason why they were, like you just said, at a 4-1 stretch. So if he's healthy and he's, going to be committed 100%, I think Willie Colon, a guy who is one of the leaders on this team, would be nice to have him back on a 1-year deal.
I might make myself sound like an idiot like I was last year when he actually came back and played well, but I'd rather just move on. 32 years old, I want to see this Jets offense, especially the offensive line. Honestly, I want them to pick up a right guard or a right tackle. I did say I like Winters a decent amount, but at the same time, I'd still rather have a different guy over him. But if they chose to get a new right tackle and a right guard, I just want to make this a younger offensive line, whether it's in the draft, free agency. And Willie Colon, I think, is going to go to a team where he could start. I don't think he's going to want to go to a team where he's going to be a starter. I don't want, Breno, Willie Colon, and then you have older guys like Mangold and DeBrickashaw first. I'm not saying he's bad. It's just time to rebuild that offensive line. We haven't addressed it in a very long time. Try to do some mid-round draft pick kind of things that didn't work out, Vlad Dukas in the second round kind of things. But I want to get young, man. We're the oldest team in the NFL, I don't want to sign a 32, going to be 33 backup lineman. I'd rather just go a different way. Talking about backup offensive lineman, a guy who I actually think I want to re-sign for a veteran minimum deal because the Jets don't have a lot of depth, especially at left tackle. And I would like to sign a guy like Ben Ojolana and let him compete for the backup left tackle spot behind Brick, if he restructures or whatever you do. We'll figure out that in a couple months. We'll be talking about that a lot. But bring him in because we don't have a lot of depth at tackle. And From what I've heard, everybody likes him around the organization, and he's actually done a decent job as a backup. It's hard to see on Sundays, but that's what I've heard. I can't really have my own gauge on that, but I'll just trust the people I know. So I would say yes, just because of the lack of depth behind our starters on the offensive line. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. He's only 26 years old. This is a local guy from, I believe he's from New Brunswick. But, again, he's a young guy in a position where a lot of them are old. So, I mean, he's 6'4", 322, I believe. He's a big body. So, I mean, that's what you need at the offensive line position, especially when you have aging guys like the Jets do. So, again, I would like to see him on a one-year deal. You know, we really haven't seen much of him on the field. Again, he's one of those backup linemen who gets, a few plays, if that, a game. When you need an extra guy on the line for, say, like a third or fourth and one. But, again, I like to see this guy come in and compete. Who knows what can happen in training camp.
Okay, Vinny, we're almost through, like, the backup types of guys, but let's just keep
this
rolling. We're starting to get up to the top of the list here, but towards the bigger name guys. But another guy on a different side of the line from Ben Ajlana is a guy in Stephen Bowen. What do you think about him? He was brought in on a one-year deal, $960,000. He's 31 years old. I honestly didn't see him do anything at all, which I questioned a lot of times. There were some times where he was on the field over Leidre Dusable, which I did not get at all, because I actually do like Leidre Dusable. Stephen Bowen, another old guy. I'd rather see a Julian Houseair or somebody, Deion Barnes, or any one of these guys on the defensive line come up and replace him. I'm in the mode now where I understand the Jets have a window to win, but they're still trying to build for the future while they can still have chances at the playoffs. And I want to start rebuilding the younger piece, the less important pieces. Obviously, you're not going to get rid of Revis because you want to be young, but if you can replace a 31-year-old Stephen Bowen for a guy who's 24 years old coming out of college, I like that kind of thing, as long as they give you decent amount of production. So I'm gonna say no to that one.
Yeah, especially for basically the same price. Stephen Bowen had 8 tackles. I feel like this. He was number 72. I feel like when we were up in our seats, we saw that number a lot on the field for some reason. Maybe that's just me. And again, we never saw him make any plays. So I mean, it's a guy when we first signed him. We were both a little excited to see him get signed. A veteran guy. We heard the name before a few times. And he just really didn't do much at all. He just didn't do much for us. So, again, 31 years old at the defensive position, especially when you're 300 pounds like he is, it's hard to make plays. And you've seen that this year when you only need 8 tackles. So it's safe to say Stephen Bowen, farewell. And we'll, hopefully we'll never see you again, bud.
Okay, next one, I agree with you. Jamari Lattimore, who was brought in on a one-year deal, $825,000, who I'm going to say I want to re-sign him, vet minimum type of deal. Hopefully they'll come back. He's a decent linebacker in coverage, even though he did get a little bit beat up by Will Tye from the Giants. Made a decent amount of plays on special teams. When there are some plays on special teams, there's guys like him and Rontez Miles and Quincy Enunwa, who I can remember the most making those plays. So, He was solid. He's a solid special teams player, and I would like to have him back strictly for special teams because other than kick return coverage unit, I think we're bottom 10 in almost every single field in the NFL. So he helps with that. He's a leader of the special teams, and I would like to see him be brought back on one of those $800,000 deals.
Mm-hmm. Jamari Lattimore, like you said, he really stuck out during special teams. I would like to see him get signed to a nice 2-year deal. I had in Pennsylvania, like a 2-year, $1 to $2 million deal, whatever it is, something small. Because again, he's only 27 years old. He's very quick and he can make plays on special teams and he can cover, which our linebackers can. So right now, when you look at the linebacker position, they really struggle at covering the tight ends, their running backs, and the bigger, receivers. So I just see Jamari Lattimore, give him a nice little 2-year deal because again, he really stood out on special teams.
Okay. I agree. He's a big special teams player. Next player, Vinny, Steven Ridley, 26 years old. He's brought in a one-year deal for $1,250,000. What do you think about Ridley, who only got 36 rushes for 90 yards this year?
Yeah. I think he had 40 total touches. I think he had 4 catches. I mean, it wasn't a pretty year for Steven Ridley. Obviously coming off a major knee injury for a running back, it doesn't really matter what age. He's 26. He's going to be just turned 26. But considering all the running backs are free agents, I believe he's third in, you know, on their ranking of players to sign, especially when you have to re-sign Powell and Chris Ivory. So, although I would like to see Stephen Ridley back, I believe the Jets would have a nice three-man, you know, three-headed monster there at the running back position. I don't think Stephen Ridley is going to be a Jet again. I would like to see him back, but I don't think, you know, there's just so many other players. You know, like you said, we had 23 guys going up and down the list. I don't think Stephen Ridley, you know, especially at a position where they have to rebuild in a sense, you know, in signing players. So I think Stephen Ridley, we've seen, you know, his 40 touches here as a Jet, and I think that's all we're going to see, you know, from Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, he's going to have that Jets tattoo on his forearm forever for no reason.
That's fun.
While I do agree with you that he's not going to be back here, I think the people who are saying, you know, 36 rushes for 90 yards and he's terrible and all that are being a little bit harsh, that he can't run without the Patriots line holding firm. I think he's a guy coming back for an injury with a new offense, a new team, and he just didn't get it done in the year he's here. I don't think he's a bad player, but at the same time, I don't think he's going to be back with the Jets. They have a guy, like you said, Chris Ivory, who's not under contract. Well, Powell's on under contract, and a guy in Zach Stacy, who's actually going to be here for another year. So you'd like to see maybe you bring Ivory and Powell back, which I see as a little bit unrealistic, and then you draft a younger guy. I just don't know where Ridley's going to fit into this offense. So while if they did bring him back, I wouldn't have a problem with it because I think he does have more than he showed us this year. I don't think he will be back. So he's probably a goner. Next guy, Vinny. Now we're starting to get some actual contributors. Darren Walls, who is a spot starter at times, didn't really play too much this year, but a guy I can rely on. I don't think he's going to bring a pick six ass because he can't catch the ball. But if you had to play Darren Walls for a couple plays, obviously it would be a little bit scary because he's not Darrell Revis, but he's a reliable fourth, fifth, sixth string guy, good special teams player. He made some plays on special teams. 27 years old. 2 years ago, signed a $1.9 million deal. What do you think about bringing Walls back? Because I think I would like to bring him back on, you know, two, three-year deal, averaging about, you know, $900,000 to $1 million. Hopefully he accepts something like that. If he doesn't, then goodbye. But I think he's a nice role player, kind of call him up when you need him in special teams player.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's, you know, like, that's a perfect word for Darren Walls. I think he's a nice role player. You know, some games he might not see any snaps at the cornerback, you know, out there at cornerback, but he'll get those, you know, 4 to 10 plays, whatever it is, on special teams. You know, he's a guy who, you know, 2 years ago he was one of our starting cornerbacks, and he played pretty well. You know, this year only 10 tackles. I think he had 3 pass deflections. So, I mean, he's a guy, especially when you look at all the cornerbacks they have on this roster. Like you said, he's reliable. So I'd like to see him back on a 2 year deal after I had him in as well. A nice 2 year deal, whatever, you know, $1 million max per year. He's a guy who can come in and, you know, fill in for a few plays here or there and, you know, get you a stop when needed.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't know if Cromartie's gonna be back. We don't know if Milner's going to be cut or traded because he's always injured. So we'll see what happens. It's obviously, you know, a big guessing game right now because let's just say they're not going to come out and Darren Walls is not going to be one of the first guys they re-sign or their first priority. Yep. So it depends on if they find a guy they like and, you know, they like him more than Darren Walls in the same amount of money or the same, you know, price range, then, yeah, they'll get rid of Darren Walls. But I like to see him back. He's a good guy. We've had him on the show, I believe, twice. He's really cool, really nice. Loves to talk with us, so I like to see wherever he goes or if he stays here, you know, wishing all the best to him. Next guy, Vinny, who was a key piece of the team in 2014 but was injured for most of the year. I forget if he actually played a game. He might have played a game, but I didn't really see him. Jaquan Jarrett, he was here last year for $1.5 million. What do you think about bringing Jaquan Jarrett back?
Jaquan Jarrett's an interesting guy. You know, he went to Temple after Coach Bowles was. So, you know, when he first got when Bowles came in, you know, there was a lot of talk from that. But I'm looking at his stats. He didn't really get into any games this year. So, I mean, Jaquan Jarrett.
Well, he was injured. I know he was put on IR for most of the season.
Yeah, so, I think he remember got hurt early on. So, I mean, considering the way the safeties played this year, the way that Marcus Gilchrist and Calvin Pryor played this year, then you had Deion Bailey come in and step up, and Rontez Miles. I just think it's hard to picture Jaquan Jarrett back with the Jets, especially coming off an injury season where he didn't play at all. Right now, I would like to see him, again, invite to camp, but if I had to put my money on it, I would say, you know, we have seen our last of Jaquan Jarrett.
Yeah, I see. This is one of the hard positions because there's so many guys who is Ronald Martin really better than Jarrett? Is Deion Bailey really better than Jarrett? Is Rontez Miles even really better than Jarrett? You know, Jaquan Jarrett. And I know everybody loves Rontez Miles, but he still does make his mistakes. He does play with that effort. And I love that. And while I do think he's better than Miles than Jaquan Jarrett, you know, I'm not really sure. So I would like to see him brought in on one of those fruit deals kind of too. But I doubt it too, which kind of brings us to our next guy, Antonio Allen. He was on a, you know, I want him on a one-year prover type of deal more than Jarrett because he really showed a lot before the switch to corner, man. He was really, really showing a lot and thought he's going to be a starting caliber. I'm not saying a Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor type of guy, but a mid-level starter in this league. And then everything just fell off from there. Then he got injured this year with a new coach. We never really got to see him after that 2013 season reach his full potential with Bowles being a safety guru. You know, playing the position, we saw what he did with Pryor and Gilchrist this year, who were both supposed to fail, and that was supposed to be one of the weakest positions on our team, which actually turned out to be a strength. I would like to see Antonio Allen in one of those roles. Maybe he's the Deion Buchanan type of guy while Pryor goes back with Gilchrist playing over the top, you know, in three safety sets. But I would like to see Allen back on a one-year type of proven deal because I think he showed a lot, and then Rex kind of screwed him. Being on team, he goes on screwed with him. So I think Antonio Allen has potential. I would like to see him back.
Oh, definitely. 100% I would like to see Antonio Allen back because, again, this is a guy who was a linebacker, changed corner to safety to corner, back to safety. He's been all over the field, and considering all the pieces the Jets have lined up on the defense side of the ball, Antonio Allen's he's a bit of a hybrid, I see him as, because he can cover the tight ends. You know, one of the memories or thoughts of Antonio Allen that I think of immediately is that pick
six
on
pick,
Gronk.
Or pick six.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, even though Gronk, I think, had 120 yards and a touchdown in the game. And that, I think Antonio Allen, you know, had that nice pick six that got the Jets back in the game third quarter, but halftime. But Antonio Allen's a nice guy. I like to see him on a one-year deal, you know, maybe two-year deal, maybe, like, you know, a team option for second year, whatever the case is. Antonio Allen is a nice guy. Come in on third down and, you know, step up and cover a, you know, running back out of the backfield, tight end, whatever case may be, because, again, like you said, he's lined up and quarterback's lined up.
Yeah, he was an outside linebacker in college, and let's just say, like, hypothetically speaking, this year, if Antonio Allen was on the team, on those third down situations against the Eagles, whatever team it was, if you had Pryor back and Gilchrist back, and instead of DeMario Davis being at middle linebacker, you play him in a Deion Buchanan type of role where he's a linebacker and is just spying the quarterback or going with the running back, I would much rather have him there. So he's big enough to do it. He's athletic enough to do it. So I really do hope he comes back and can be a spot starter at safety or a role player for us. But I really do like Antonio Allen. Next guy who we're really getting to the players now, but I'm just getting rid of the guys who I kind of think I know that we're going to both agree on. Calvin Pace, Vinny, this year, $2,125,000, 22 tackles, 3 sacks. You know, he had the only game I can really remember him really doing a lot was the Jaguars game, the short sack fumble to get the ball back and a touchdown where we probably would have lost that game, but if it wasn't for him. But you see the Bills game where they do end arounds or any type of play where they're stretching to the outside. That's what a lot of teams did against the Jets defensive line because they have such good linebacker. I mean, they have such good defensive line, but when you run to the outside, it's more upon the linebackers to make the plays, whether it be the outside linebackers or middle linebackers. And the Jets linebackers are just not athletic enough and fast enough to get through those holes before they get plugged up. So I don't really like, you know, he's been a great Jets. He's been here forever. Salute him for his seven years now of service. He was a good Jet, but it's time for him to go. It's time for the Jets to make Lorenzo Malden step up to hopefully draft a linebacker in the first two rounds or pick one up in free agency. But Calvin Pace can't be back, man. It's his time to go.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, man, he just finished his eighth year with the Jets. I feel like he's been here forever. Yeah, so, I mean, again, like you said, he's 35 years old. He'll be 36 in October come next season. That's a guy, you just can't. I mean, a linebacker is a position where, you know, you get past the age of 33, 34, and, you know, like it has shown with Calvin Pace, he's 35, and he can't catch up to anybody. He can't catch up to a quarterback, a running back. A, you know, they try to end arounds. He's really just –
people in nursing homes.
He's one of the longest tenured Jets. He's a great guy. You know, just hearing off the interviews, you know, throughout the years from Calvin Pace. But I think, again, you know, the only way we see Calvin Pace is if the Jets just totally screw up in free agency in the draft and have no other option, you know, unless, you know, no other option besides Calvin Pace at outside linebacker, because again, he's a guy who's just too slow, too old. You know the story with Calvin Pace. So right now it would be a no, sad to say, 8 years. Thank you, Calvin Pace. But, you know, it's time to move on.
Yeah, it's time to get younger at that position. Like I said, with opening, the Broncos have Von Miller, and Von Miller is the reason their defense is the way it is, because if they didn't have Von Miller, they wouldn't be what they are. They have good corners. They have good, you know, they have Wolf. They have good players on that team, but Von Miller makes that defense. He is an absolute beast, and while he's an ass sometimes, I really don't like his personality, you know, like humping the air and all. I just don't like him. He's kind of a piece of crap to me, but he's very good, so it doesn't really matter. He's going to get his money. Next guy, Vinny. Let's do a guy who I know that we're both going to say let's probably get rid of him, DeMario Davis. He's making $1.6 million next year. I'm just going to say it. He's not good in coverage. He can't tackle. He's not as fast as people think he is. He's not Ray Lewis. He's not a good player. He's not even an average linebacker. He's a very below-average linebacker in this league. And you'd think that this Jets defensive line would make him look better, but it kind of just made him look worse or you know, no change. He's a bad linebacker, and he needs to be gone. Goodbye to Mario Davis.
Oh, God, you know, I was looking at DeMario Davis. He had 90 tackles this year. Actually, last year he had back-to-back 100 tackle seasons, but that's a thing where the numbers definitely lie. They don't tell a story, because for every tackle, I feel like there's one or two missed tackles with DeMario Davis. Again,
he can't touch down on a wildcat or something stupid like that.
Exactly.
That he just didn't.
You know, he doesn't know his position sometimes. He doesn't know where to go sometimes. And again, this is a guy who, you know, when he got drafted, like you said, you know, Rex Ryan gave him that label of the Ray Lewis. But this guy, he didn't play like Ray Lewis. He played like a guy who went to a Division I FBS subdivision school in Arkansas State, and which he did, because this is a guy who just did not – he's just not ready for, you know, to make an impact in the NFL with this team. You know, when you really look at DeMario Davis this year, with all the pieces the Jets had, the secondary they had, the defensive line that they had, you know, this was a huge opportunity for DeMario Davis, you know, to make a big splash entering free agency. And he really just laid an egg. He made a few plays here or there. And, you know, what really grinds my gears, I know it's going to make you very angry, what made you angry, was that last game of the year when DeMario Davis, when there was a minute left, you know, he made a tackle. And he goes out and does a Superman stance, not once, but twice when the season was over. I mean, there's just things, you know, you can't have on the football team. You just, DeMario Davis, he shined sometimes, but, I mean, it was rare. It was very rare. It was like the sun shining in Seattle. It's just very rare. Some things just don't happen. DeMario Davis, you know, we've seen his last, game as a Jet. I hope and pray, because this is a position where the Jets got to do something. The draft, free agency, whatever the case is, DeMario Davis, no shot in hell that DeMario Davis can be back as a Jet.
Yeah, and he's not a bad guy. He's a very religious guy, and I heard he's very nice, but just the dancing after the two tackles for loss two times in a row, he just looks so stupid, and that just made me hate him even more. So I just do not like his play on the field. Nothing to do with nothing personal to any of his players. I'm just talking about the way they're on the field, but he's
strictly
bad.
Business,
he's not
baby.
Good. He's not good. And I remember he was Ray Lewis, and Calvin Pryor was Bob Sanders. It's just Rex Ryan with his ways. But DeMario Davis, goodbye. I hope I never see you in a Jets uniform or in a facility or on Instagram or anything ever again, because you were just not a good football player, in my opinion. next guy, Vinny, who talking about Stephen Bowie IV and why he was on the field more, I think, than Luka Dusable. He signed a one-year deal, $1.2 million. And I'm not actually necessarily sure. I think Luka Dusable probably was on the field more than him. But he didn't have any sacks, 14 tackles, didn't really see him too much this year. But at the same time, I think he's a valuable backup. You know, bring him back for right around $1 million, a little bit higher if he wants that. You should base it off his production, which 14 tackles isn't really too much, but how much percent of the snaps did he see on the field? Not many. So I think with the whole Wilkerson situation and him potentially leaving, getting traded, whatever's going to happen, a tag and trade, with Leonard Williams there, with Sheldon and Snacks, hopefully as the starters next year, or we'll see what the situation is. But I think Luka Dusable is a nice backup to have. I would like to sign him back for a year. 29 years old, he's not too old, he's not too young. He's not looking for a huge payday, you know. So I think he's happy here, and I would like to see him back on a little bit over $1 million deal. I think he's valuable as a as a backup.
Definitely, you know, I feel like he's been longer, and he's been on the Jets longer than 3 years. But again, this is a guy who everyone likes on the team. He's one of those, you know, one of those good guys in the locker room. And you know, he's a guy who comes in on, you know, third down to give a guy a spill here or there. He's a nice guy to have on the field because I see him as a bit of a hybrid defensive tackle, nose tackle type of deal. He's 280 pounds, mm-hmm. So you know, he had some speed. You know, when he makes some plays here and everything, had 2.5 sacks last year. Really didn't see him too much on the field this year. You know, they had a lot of depth at that position. But again, who knows? I mean, it's a big question mark, that defensive line entering the season, mainly because of Mo Wilkerson. But, you know, I like to see Doosable back. You know, he's a good guy, good locker room guy, nice guy to have on the team for 1 year, you know, $1 million, like you said, $1 million type of deal.
All right, so Vinny, now we are now the last guy before getting to our big five. Aaron Henderson, 29 years old. Had 45 tackles and very limited snaps. He didn't play like the first whole half of the season, or even the first three-fourths of the season. He started splitting reps with DeMario the last couple of games. Showed a lot, even in the Bills game, on those stupid like Shrek run plays, those zone run plays. He was knocking guys around some, and I think he's a good linebacker. I really do. I like Aaron Henderson from what I've seen from him, what I've seen from Minnesota. I think he's much, much better than DeMario Davis. And if the Jets were playing next year and, you know, they decided to address the right tackle, left tackle, or right guard and outside linebacker, and they didn't have enough room or money or resources to get another middle linebacker alongside David Harris, I would be completely fine with Aaron Henderson starting right next to him. So I do like him that much. So I would like to see him. He was brought in a 1 year, $745,000 deal. I think he's going to get much more than that now, not necessarily, you know, $5 million, but I think in the snap seat he played, he showed a lot, and teams will see that. So bring him back on like a, you know, $2 million deal, maybe two years, $4 million. If you really do plan on him being that starting linebacker for you, because like I said, man, I like him. I don't know what you think.
Yeah. I mean, after a year out of the NFL in 2014, he really played well in limited time in limited snaps. When he came out special teams, he always made a play. He's a short tackler. Which the Jets really don't have a lot of, you know, outside of David Harris. You know, and you plug in Aaron Henderson there, he's a guy who can give you 100 tackles a season if given a lot of snaps. So I like to see him back definitely on a, you know, you mentioned 2 year deal. I like that idea. You know, a 2 year deal, maybe a team option for that second year, because he's a guy who, again, he's 29, but again, he had a full year off out of the NFL. So he's really 28 when he comes to, you know, years in the NFL. So I like to see Aaron Henderson back. 40, you know, like you said, 45 tackles. I mean, that's a lot considering the times, you know, the amount of time he played on the field. I want to see. I need to get a number of how much percentage he was out there on the field. But this is a guy who I really like to see back. If not a 2 year deal, at least back on a 1 year deal.
Yeah. No. Honestly, I didn't know it was 45. I thought it was somewhere around 30. But when I looked it up today, I was actually surprised with the 45 tackles. Yeah. He didn't play a lot of snaps at all until the end of the year. So he's very productive. And you know, speaking about team options and things, Vinny, I just quick mention to the Mets for getting Cespedes back. That was freaking awesome. I forgot to mention that. So rejoice, Mets fans. It's awesome. But now we are going into our big five. You know, we went through some guys, signed more depth players, but now it's the guys who have huge question marks, who will be questions, who we'll be talking about. You know, we're not going to be talking about Willie Colon, Jamari Lattimore for the next couple of weeks, but we will be talking about these type of guys. And the first guy on the list, Vinny, is Bilal Powell. 1 year, he came back on a 1 year deal last year for $2 million. I think he's going to want a little bit more now because of what he did. He had 70 rushes for 313 yards, averaging 4.5 yards a carry. He had one touchdown on the ground, and then he had 47 receptions, 388 yards receiving, and two touchdowns. And you were talking about Kemba Thompkins and not the third receiving option, thing like that. And Bilal Powell, probably him and Fitzpatrick, and obviously Marshall were the reasons we went on that winning streak. Powell, the touchdown against the Giants, he made a whole bunch of big plays. Every game he was back there. So honestly, if I told, and I'm going to say I want him back, most definitely. 1 year, you know, maybe a 2 year deal for $2 to $3 million. Maybe you give him $3 million a year. I'm gonna say 2.5, like a 2 year deal, $5 million. I think he's gonna go for about half of what Ivory will get paid. So, let's say you brought Powell, and this is gonna tie Ivory into it too, Vinny, who Do you want to re-sign Ivory? It's a kind of a two-part question here. Would you rather have a Powell at a $2.5 million deal or an Ivory at a more banged-up body, he's consistent when he plays, but he's not consistent when he's on the field type of thing where you don't know if he's going to play healthy or not. Would you rather have Powell at 2.5 or Ivory at like $4.5 or $5 million since he isn't a Pro Bowl and he was the AFC's leading rusher?
Obviously, ideally, I would like to have them both back. But right now, if you tell me I have to pick one guy, based on what I've seen, when it mattered the most, I'm giving it to Bilal Powell. Obviously, when you talk about both of these guys, you talk about their health. Bilal Powell, when healthy, when he's on the field, he's so productive. You just mentioned the 47 catches. When they're on that winning streak, that five game win streak. Bilal Powell, it seemed like he had 10 touches, 80 to 90 yards, and a touchdown. He averaged 8.3 yards per catch and 4.5 yards per carry. He was a guy who was making plays after play, considering he only got the ball, a handful of times a game. So if you're telling me right now, if I had to pick one of those guys for that type of money, considering what the Jets have to spend, I would say give me Bilal Powell in a 2-year, between $4 and $6 million type of deal, whatever you're going to give him. It's not going to be too much. It's not going to be, too less, because he's definitely earned a nice, $2 to $3 million salary annually. And tying this in with Ivory, McKagan, he's known as a draft guru. He's known as, draft. That's his main thing. So, when you talk about the running back position, this class is pretty nice, actually. So, you've seen the guys, like I know you mentioned last show, the running back from Arizona, David Johnson, he was a third-round guy. I wouldn't be surprised if I see the Jets, go in and draft a Derrick Henry second round or something like that, because when you talk about Chris Ivory, he had over 1,000 yards. He's going to be wanting, I think, like you said, $4 to $7 million per year. And if the Jets don't have that type of money, he's just not going to get that type of money. I would love to see them both back, because when they're both healthy on the field, there's just a lot of options. We've seen this towards the end of the year when they're healthy, both going. This Jets offense was very, very good. And, when things went south is when those guys started getting hurt. So Bilal Powell, I would like to see him back over Chris Ivory a little bit more, just because of what with Powell brings in his limited touches.
Yeah, considering the health, even though they're both 27 years old, the $2 to $2.5 million he's probably going to get. I'm just estimating cap numbers or what I think they deserve and the deals in the past. But, if I had to choose, I'd honestly choose Powell over Ivory.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, Vinny Ivory would come back for, $4 million. Powell would come back for 2.5. They get, Stephen Ridley wouldn't be back. Zach Stacy's that emergency guy. And then, like I said, third, fourth, even fifth round, these guys find these running backs. And before I get into running backs, and we'll talk about this a lot before draft time, we're not going to do it right now. I was on Twitter. There was this guy who did not like me. I got called an arrogant ass, this and that and that and this, and I'm always right.
Whoa.
Just people who I'm trying to express my opinion, whatever, just stupid. But basically what I was saying is I don't like drafting running backs in the first round, because there's guys, like you find the Thomas Rolls, the David Johnsons, these guys, there's like three or four teams that's starting running backs who weren't even drafted this year and who are like extremely productive. It's just you find late round running backs all the time, guys in free agency who you don't think of who are going to play very well. So, Chris Johnson with the Cardinals, it just Chris Johnson and David
Johnson. Let me just interrupt you real quick. Chris Ivory was undrafted. So, there goes his
save. No,
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, yeah, I just wanted to get that point out that Chris Ivory was an undrafted guy.
Exactly. And I'm not saying if Adrian Peterson's coming out, I know he's going to be as good as Adrian Peterson. I'm not going to take him in the first round because I'm going to stay to my gut here. And I understand, there's guys with better years and stuff like that. But Todd Gurley and Adrian Peterson are the only two running backs in the last 10 years I remember doing anything who are taken in the first round. So that's just my point. That's the only thing I got to say is you have the Trent Richardsons, you have the Melvin Ingrams, who's decent, but nothing really. Go on the list and look up the running backs drafted in the first round in the last 10 years. There's not many successful ones. You find these guys all over the league. So in that position where I could find a guy really, really late, and be successful, I'd rather take a chance on a, you know, offensive lineman or outside linebacker in the first couple of rounds, because how often do you find late guys who are successful at those positions? So that's basically all I'm saying. We'll get more into it later with draft time. It'll be very interesting. Draft is one of my favorite things, but I agree with you, man. Bring back Powell over Ivory if you can. Bring back both of them, but it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the running back position goes, because if you bring back Powell, then you need that number one guy. So who's it going to be? It's going to be an early guy, and if you bring back Ivory, not Powell, you need a second down guy. So we'll see. The running back position is huge. It really is huge. Next position, Vinny, which is going to be an easy one, which you shoot a guy out of the way before even Powell and Ivory, is Ryan Fitzpatrick. We both want to bring him back. He has to be back. The Jets expressed their interest in bringing him back. 31 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. The most productive Jets quarterback I've seen since I've been a Jets fan. Honestly, in Chad Pennington's years, Chad Pennington, less turnovers. But I was more of a kid then, so I didn't pay as much attention. But he's been good, man. It would be nice to see him back on a two-year deal. It's probably gonna be like $10 to $12 million deal. I know for all the fans who think that Fitzpatrick's going to come back for 2 years, $10 million for $5 million a year after the year he just had where he broke Jets franchise records and touchdowns, you're absolutely crazy. The guy's getting at least, I'm going to say, a minimum of $8 to $9 million a year. So, you know, what are you comfortable with? Because I know we both want him back. There's no discussion about that. But, you know, what are you expecting him to come back at? What would you be happy with? And what do you think, like, if you had a line or a line in the sand where you say he can't come back for more than this a year, what would that be around, do you think?
I mean, I think, you know, when I was putting this together, just think about the cap room, what the Jets got to do in order to make all these pieces work. I penciled in Fitzpatrick at a two-year, $19 million deal, with the second year being a team option. I would say the first year being around $10 million, say 10 and 9, whatever the case is. I think he's going to get around 2 years of $20 million. I just think when you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's 33 going on 30. I think he's 33 going on 34 now. He has the weapons he has never had in his entire career, which – in my opinion, is all incentive to bring him back, because considering, you know, look what he did in his first year with Brandon Marshall, with Eric Decker, you know, the chemistry can only get better with those guys. And again, those guys aren't getting any younger, especially Brandon Marshall. So, I mean, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick on a two-year, you're giving me a number, which I think too much for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that'd be, you know, $12 to $14 million. I don't think he's an ass necessarily for that type of money. But again, you never know, considering the year you just had, you know, like you just said, you think he had 33 total touchdowns, breaking every record possible at that quarterback position for the Jets. So, I mean, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy the Jets have to, you know, obviously they have to have him back. There's no doubt about it. There's no way the Jets can go, you know, with Geno Smith or with Bryce Petty as their starting quarterback. But again, you never know. I mean, the crazier things have happened. I would bet a lot of money that Ryan Fitzpatrick would be back on a two-year, I would say between $19 and $22 million deal, just because of what he did this year. Exactly. You know, I mean, there's no other. He exceeded every expectation imaginable. I know, at least for me, I would assume for you too. I mean, there's not a chance I would have said he would have, you know, over 30 touchdowns and under 16 interceptions, because, you know, just going back on his track history. But hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think he's a perfect guy, a perfect fit for this Jets quarterback for the next 2 years, until they can have a guy to lead their franchise for, you know, for 10 years. Because Fitzpatrick is a perfect fit, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. 2 year deal and that around I think $12 million is the highest I would go, and I really, really hurt to see him get like 12, which would be crazy. I think that's too high, actually. I think 11 is like the highest I would go. But I run around two years, $20 million deal would be nice for me. Broke records this year for the Jets. I know we had really good receivers, but like you said, the chemistry can only go up from here. It would just be stupid, you know. You're gonna cut him, and then Geno comes back to the starter. You're gonna draft a guy in the first round. Like what do you want to do? I think Fitzpatrick would be nice to get him back for those 2 years, have a little bit of stability. Maybe, you know, you draft a quarterback in the first couple of rounds this year, maybe round two or three, guy you like, and then try to develop him for a year or two. Let them compete with Bryce Petty when. But now, Vinny, we're actually going to bring on Matt, who actually wants to talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick. What is up, Matt? Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So with Ryan Fitzpatrick, obviously exceeded all expectations this year. I'd like to ink him for 1 year, no more than $10 million. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick has always been a good quarterback, a journeyman quarterback, but this offense is also, out of nowhere, very good. I know the relationship with Chan Gailey helps a lot. But I just, do we really think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback? Because I think the Jets' window is actually very small, and there's a lot of free agents this year that you would have to sign. And I don't know if maybe does Bryce Petty, do you think, rule out maybe bringing in a, I don't want to say Johnny Manziel, like a Robert Griffin III type guy. Yeah, let's just not even talk about that. Like an RG3 or somebody like that with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No. Because that's just too much money. Robert Griffin III is going to get money from whether it be like a Jerry Jones or a desperate team like the Browns, where we're not going to try to outbid ourselves for a guy who's injured all the time, needs a very specific system. You can't run the same offense with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Robert Griffin III. It doesn't work like that. So you can't do that. You have to bring in a similar type of quarterback. It's just not going to work. And I don't think they're necessarily going to go for less than a year, because I think Fitzpatrick wants a little bit of stability, and I think they'll give him a 2-year deal just based on the things that he did with a second year option, or maybe if it's 2 years, $20 million, you give him $10 million guaranteed or 11. But I don't think he comes back on just a 1-year deal. But like I asked Vinny, you said right around $10 million too. But what would, like, if you had to draw a line in the sand of the money that you would not want him back for, considering all the free agents, Wilkerson, Ivory, Damon Harrison, what is that number? Like, what is too high for Ryan Fitzpatrick, considering the Jets don't have any stability at the position?
When I was thinking 1 year, I was thinking I probably wouldn't pay him $13 million for a year. If you told me he would take 2 years, $20 million, I guess you have to do it, because there is nobody else.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, seriously, there's nobody else, and it's just what it is. He has us basically by the balls, as AC/DC would say. There's nobody out there unless you want to sign a Robert Griffin III to run a completely different offense with him after 1 year of just running this new offense with Chan Gailey. So it's not going to work. And another interesting question before you go is, what do you do with Wilkerson, man? Because you're hearing that he wants around $15, $16 million a year, maybe higher, maybe less, but it's still a lot of money with considering we already have only $11 million with Fitzpatrick assigned, Ivory assigned, Snacks assigned, all these guys. So what is your Wilkerson opinion?
What I think the Jets are going to do is I think you let Snacks walk. Because quietly, he's one of the best there is, and he's gonna make his money. So I think you let Snacks walk, and I think you have to pay Wilkerson, and then eventually maybe that keeps you from paying a guy like, a Sheldon Richardson or something, which is fine. I think the Jets are going to pay Wilkerson. I don't even know that Ivory is going to come back, but I think Wilkerson is a top priority. I really do, quietly, because I know it's been a while, and I know he's pretty frustrated with the Jets, but I do think he's going to get his money from the Jets. The broken leg
doesn't
hurt, but...
Oh, no, we'll see what happens. It's very, very interesting. Me and Vinny are definitely about to dive into that. But is there any other, positions or guys you're looking at in free agency who you would like to be spotted? And I know there's guys talking about Von Miller and things like that. It's just very unrealistic. But is there any position group you really want to see addressed in free agency?
I've heard a lot of Marshawn Lynch. I really don't want Marshawn Lynch. I'd rather keep Chris Ivory. But aside from that, I really think the Jets are okay in every position, just about, they're not hurting anywhere. There's no huge need where you'd have to really spend your money in free agency. So, I hope they bring in a few guys, but there's no big names that I really, really need to see with the Jets.
Yeah, no, we'll jump into it, man. It's about a month away, a little bit more than a month away. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Wilkerson, with Ivory, with, Blau Powell. So this is definitely a harder offseason for Mike McCagnan, in my opinion, because he has a lot more to decide. Last year it was, okay, you have $60 million, go spend it on a secondary because they're terrible in a secondary next year or this year. So we definitely appreciate the call, Matt. Hopefully we hear from you again soon. And like I said, thanks for calling in, man.
Thanks for having me, buddy. Love the show. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, Vinny, and that was Matt. We appreciate him calling in, which now, and we did it. We talked about Fitzpatrick. We talked about the running backs, talked about every other 21 free agents, and now it is time to talk about Wilkerson, which I don't think I'm going to be able to give an answer because I really don't know. I am so torn on this situation. And we'll blend it into one, Vinny, because Wilkerson and Snacks, it's a fluid situation just like it is with Blau Powell and Chris Ivory. It's very, 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 very hard. I don't know what McKagan's going to do. It's going to be absolutely insane. But, Vinny, what do you do? Honestly, there are so many questions about this question. I don't know how to word a question to you, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a reason why why McKagan is the GM, but we're not. You know, these are the tough questions he has to answer. You know, I mean, again, like you said, he came in with $60 million to spend. You know, it must have been pretty nice going into work when you had, when you can do so much with money. Now, when you're strapped for cash, like the Jets are heading into this offseason we're going through 23 free agents. That's almost half the roster. That's literally almost half the roster. That's going to be free agents.
Yeah, it's literally the half of what it's. Half of active players who actually get to go on the field.
Exactly.
In a game.
That's insane, man. That's absolutely insane. So what I do with Mo Wilkerson, I mean, man, that broken leg really sucks because what I thought was going to happen was that the Jets are either going to – I think what they're first going to try to do with Mo Wilkerson was going to try to trade him. I think that's what their first thought would be. But now with the broken leg, that changes everything in my opinion. Right now, as it stands, I would think that the Jets would – right now, I think they would franchise tag him. You know, I think it's around $14.5 million. Because, again, you know, with Mo Wilkerson, he wants a six-year, $100 million contract. Say he gets a 6 years, $100 million. That's $16.5 million. That's basically what he wants. But that's so much money considering what the Jets are paying other players and considering so many needs. And this is one of the, you know, obviously one of the better positions, one of the positions the Jets have made their names off of the past 3 or 4 years. But, again, a position that has struggled, in my opinion, because considering – you know, with outside of Mo Wilkerson, this position only 12 sacks. So, I mean, the team under 40 sacks, they had 39. I think they had 39 half sacks this year. Mo Wilkerson with 12. I mean, he had a great year. There's no doubt about it. It's just so hard. What do you do? Do you pay him? Do you give him the $100 million contract coming off a broken leg? What if he's not the same player? And do you franchise tag him? I mean, there's so much going on. I don't think there's going to be a big trade market for a guy who's coming off a broken leg. But then again, there might be.
Yeah, but it's like, see, he broke a leg in his bone where it's not a big deal. It's kind of like, you know, breaking your collarbone in your leg. It's not like he tore his ACL and MCL, which is not like it used to be a couple of years ago. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's a concern. But he's still gonna get his money.
Yeah, I mean, right now, if you're telling me what to do with Mo Wilkerson, I would say franchise tag him. And try to work out some sort of deal. Try to restructure everything possible, because I believe you have until, I want to say, middle of July, once you put the franchise tag on, to work out a deal before it goes into effect, something like that. I may be wrong on a few weeks or something like that. I believe it's July where it goes into effect. But Mo Wilkerson,
it's late July or early August. I forget.
We've been saying this for basically the entire season that the guy wants to be Jet. He's come right around here. I know he wants to be a Jet. At least the Jets want to have him for the right price. What that price is, we don't know. We don't know what that price is. So we'll see. I mean, right now, it's just so early. So much. There's so many factors to go with this. Right now, if you're telling me, what do I do? I slap him with that franchise.
And then, so you're slapping Wilkerson with this franchise tag, which is, what is it, right around like $14-15 million?
Yeah, dollars
a year. Now you're signing Blau Powell to a deal. You're not signing Ivory. Then you have Fitzpatrick, and then you pick out a few random guys.
Man.
You know, Antonio Allen, Dusable, Darren Walls, Sudfield, whoever it is. Then what are you gonna do with Snacks? Because if you're signing Wilkerson and you're franchise tagging him, and you're signing Fitzpatrick, I don't think Snacks can come back. So what are you going to do with potentially the best nose tackle in the league?
Yeah.
Who is probably going to demand right around five, six, $7 million, probably the highest I would go, considering he's usually just a two-down player. But he is, dude, you can consider him one of the best nose tackles in the league. He had 72 tackles as a nose tackle, and I believe he had one of the best or the best run-stuffing percentages in the NFL. You're just letting him walk now, because then you have – You know, you're talking about rushing the passer and all this stuff, but then you have basically you have like three, four, three defensive tackles, and no nose tackle, because let's face it, none of these guys are as big and strong as Snacks to penetrate the middle. None of them run stuff like Snacks does. He's the best in the team at it. So now you're giving up Snacks, who is the best run defender, which it hurts.
Uh-huh.
Man. So are you not going to keep Snacks now? You're going to put Wilkerson in the middle. I really don't know. If I had to say right now, you're signing Snacks for right around $6 million a deal. I mean a year. If people are saying he'll sign for $4 to $5 million. He declined a $5 million deal from the Jets a couple of years ago. You know, I think it's like 5 or 2 years, $10 million, whatever it was. But so he's going to want more than that, especially after this year. So sign him for $6 million, dude. And it sucks to say it because I love Wilkerson. I do. But if I had to say it right now, what I think is smartest for the Jets franchise, I would say you sign Snacks, and then you have your note. You're in a 3-4 defense. You don't want four defensive players for three positions at starting. You don't want Sheldon as an outside linebacker. You want a young guy there. So you're putting Leonard Williams there. You're putting Sheldon there. You're putting Snacks there. And then let's say with the $15 million that Mosin gets signed for, you sign that right tackle or that right guard or that left tackle or whatever you have to do with that, and then you sign an outside linebacker. You go into the draft free-minded. You could draft a quarterback, another offensive lineman, another outside linebacker, a safety, whatever you want to do. So for the price of Wilkerson, you get two starters and probably a late first-round draft pick as compensation for him in a trade after the franchise tag. That's what I would do. I just think the fact that the Jets waited so freaking long to wait to even try to negotiate a contract with him, they messed up. If they wanted to sign him, and they plan on doing it the entire year, they messed up because they should have got it done as soon as Mike Maccagna walked in the door. So I think that all signs point to him being traded or somehow he's not on the team. It's just what it is to me.
Yeah, it's just tough when a team has, you know, right around 40 sacks and, you know, this guy had 12 of them. It's tough to see that guy leave. You said a lot of factors, you know, defensive line, the amount of positions. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, the Jets don't have a guy to get to the quarterback. They don't have on the roster right now. They really don't have a guy who's, you know, outside of Mo Wilkerson, whose job is to get to the quarterback and can do it well. I mean, Lorenzo Maldon, yeah, I think that, you know, he could potentially be it. But again, it's such a tough, you know, decision because, you know, Snacks, I have him penciled in somewhere around a 3-year to between $20 and $25 million. I think that's what he wants. I think that's what he deserves. And realistically, I think you could probably get a little more from, you know, other teams because, like you said, he is, if not the best, he's top three, top five nose tackles in the National Football League, considering, you know, it's amazing his story. You know, going back a few years ago, he was, you know, working at a Walmart, and now he's one of the best players in the NFL. So with that being said, there's a lot of, you know, again, there's a lot of tough decisions for his team to do because they need to get to the quarterback. You know, they have a great secondary. And who knows what that's going to be like. Doesn't know if Cromartie, whatever the case is with him. But, I mean, these guys aren't getting any younger, the secondary. And you need to give them some, you know, you need to give them some help. And the way you do that is by getting, you know, how the Broncos just win, like we talked about earlier in the show, getting to the quarterback. That's something, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to hope whoever they draft early on is someone who can get to the quarterback. So that's
true.
Just the way I'm looking at it because they don't have anyone. You know, you're relying on Lorenzo Maldon to give you, you know, to make up for Mo Wilkerson's 12 sacks. Are you going to do that? I mean, in a perfect world, you know, yeah, you pencil in for 10 sacks. But, I mean, I just don't see that happening. Again, you know, if they can get a first round, a second round pick for him, then yes, I would do that and keep Snacks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, I think you get a late first round draft, but I don't think I would take any, if they traded Wilkerson for anything less than a first round draft pick, I would really, really be disappointed. But dude, thank God I remember just thinking about the shows and all this, and I'm 100% honest with people going to like, what are we going to talk about next offseason? Like, I think that far ahead. And if Wilkerson and Snacks, this situation wasn't having, this would be a very, very bland and boring offseason. But the fact that we have to talk about this for another month, it gives us some fuel So, you know, that's but that's another great opinion, dude. It's honestly, I didn't even think about that just off the top. I didn't think about that off the top of my head. Just say that this team got 40 sacks. Wilkerson got 12 of them. So you're depending on this young outside linebacker or even a guy. We see free agency bust all the time. A guy from free agency coming in and putting up a decent amount of numbers. So that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. But it's just a factor of three guys. I mean four guys into three positions on the field that you're supposed to have. And Sheldon Richardson, he's not an outside linebacker. I don't want to see him there ever again. It's just a way to figure out them to be all on the field. Cool. So, it is so interesting. We'll get back to it a lot before it was like March 10th that free agency actually opens up, or the 13th or whatever the date is this year. But awesome show, dude. We got to every free agent. Thank you, Matt, for calling in. Really appreciate the call. Thank you, Nick back there. I'm just purposely calling you Jerry because you beat me in the picks of the week. But we thank everybody. Go to JetNation.com. Go to JetNation.com forums. Check out Glenn, AceFan23, really good writer. Check Vinny out at, what is it, VinLotto26, I believe his Twitter handle is, and mine is JoeRB31. So we appreciate everybody for listening in. We'll get back to Wilkerson, Snacks, a whole bunch of situations. Next week we'll talk some, are you going to cut Cromartie? Or what are you going to do with the Brickershaw Ferguson? So we're going to get into some more Jets players and maybe even a little bit into some free agents that we're looking at. So, Vinny, any last words, man?
Hey, just another great show, you know, going through, you know, this offseason is going to be long and it's going to be fun, I think. You know, we just went through 23 guys. We just went through a half a roster in an hour. So I mean, considering that, it's gonna be a fun off season. I'll tell you that much. But hey, man, this is one of the more fun shows I think we have had in a while. I can't wait to get back at it next week, bud.
We appreciate everybody for listening in. Like I said, we appreciate Nick. In the background, runs the Twitter and all of that while we're doing the show. So he is an awesome asset to us. And we'll be back next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. And let's go Jets, even though they're not playing on Sunday.